your own. May my mistakes not hinder you, but His grace remain and guide you through. This is my prayer for you. With all your heart, this will be my prayer for you. Father, hear my ceaseless prayer. Oh, keep her in your teach you, will you tell me, what must I do for eternal life? I've kept your laws completely. Sell all you have, give to the poor, then heaven's treasure shall be yours. How hard for those who are rich on earth to gain the wealth.
Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing out there? Highlands Community Church. So happy not to see you, I guess, but I wish I could see you here live with you this morning. A couple others of us in the building. Otherwise, we are empty this morning. But if you're watching us for some reason for the first time, someone sent you the link, which I hope so. My name is Jody May. I'm the lead pastor here at Highlands. We're glad that you can be with us today. Hey, first things first, I just want to share with you a couple announcements we got going on today. in case you are new with us or if not, number one, if you are joining with us today, your church family, you should know that you got an email last night from Pastor Bill. Looks like this. And on your email, it'll have today, this week's sermon, what we're covering, our sermon notes for today, as well as everything that you need to know for all of our foundations material today, so that you guys can take your family through that material on what you've been learning, so that way you stay caught up and you all could be studying the same thing. So again, that's on the email. As well, any announcements important and pertaining to the church are found on that email this morning. As we're praying on Mondays and Fridays, we have that information on there, plus the link that we want you to click on, which is Zoom. We want you to be able to make sure that you get that on Mondays and Fridays. You want to join us in prayer. We had a great time this week. And as well as when we have our Wednesday's devotion, we know that, a lot of us can't meet with our small group, so we're just doing a small devotion. And I still want to encourage you guys to, man, maybe family with family can meet, as comfortable as you feel about that, right? And make sure you're communicating throughout the week as well. So again, check that email and make sure that you get everything that you need that came out to you last night. And for some reason, if you did not get that email, you can email us. Or if you're watching this live, there is a chat option on the right-hand side that you actually can click on and let us know that you need that, all right? As well as we get going this morning, I just want to say, again, as we cannot meet in person, this is the third week in a row. At this point, we don't know when we will be able to meet. Now, as God's church, we're not saying that come what may, we will meet again. We know that. But right now, to be able to distance ourselves for safety reasons, some of us are experiencing, though, some hard things right now. I just want you to know that. I want to be real for a minute. We've had some people in our church who've already been affected by what's going on out there through this pandemic. Whether it's somebody they've known that's been sick or have passed away, I'm telling you, that has happened. Or someone that we've known, maybe in our family, has gotten sick and it's caused us some stress in our life. Some of you have suffered job loss. That's hit me. That's hit many of you. Some of you are responsible for other people's lives and their income. So this has affected everybody in our church. So what I want to say right now to all of you watching right now, and I hope you're watching, is all the way from the east, from Kerry Johnson, you guys, the Littles and the Cools coming in this way, from all the way down south to the Lassiters and coming up this way, the Swans and Newsoms, all the way to the north, from the Borges and the Aldersons and the Attards. And hey, Phil, how you doing? Phil's here with me today, actually. And all the way west, Brandon West, as you're over there in Ackworth. Listen, we can't be here in person, but here's the deal. We are here, as you're watching right now in this moment, and I'm watching you, we are here together in spirit. And whenever the Spirit is here, we are united with Him, and we are united with one another. Know that, believe it, because it's true. So this morning, I want to open up with a pastoral prayer as we go into a time of worship. Now, as we go into a time of worship this morning, we don't have anybody playing music for us this morning. Again, one of the precautions is, in case you didn't know, we celebrate with the Haberleys. Aaron is pregnant. Aaron and Brian are both pregnant. And so we celebrate with them. But we also want to keep Brian away from all of us, just in case. So we are going to worship together. Brian sent us some music that we can sing to together with some lyrics. You're going to like it. It's good music. It's music that we've actually done before. So you're going to recognize it. But before we get to that, and praise God for who He is and what He does and all of His steadfast goodness toward His people, I want to open us up in a prayer this morning and get our minds centered on being united through Christ through all things, all right? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day. Lord, it's brought many surprises this week. There have been many things that we have seen with our eyes and heard with our ears, the Lord, that has taken our mind and our thoughts off of You and who You are. It's required us today to exercise patience. And that's a hard thing, Lord, to wait upon You. But Father, we ask for Your delivery in this. Lord Jesus, we do ask that right now, through space and time, that You would be here with us. By Thy Spirit, that You would connect us together as a people. Unite us in the vision of what You are trying to do, what You are trying to get us to see here this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and open up our hearts to praise You for who You are, because that never changes. Your steadfast goodness always remains the same, and we thank You for that. So Lord, lead us now in this time. And may we praise you with everything we have. For we say this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You brought us from the wilderness, but now our faith is frail and weak. Oh God of mercy, hear our plea. When will you comfort our distress? How long
So this morning, as we continue on in praising God for who he is, as we are crying out for our Father to hear us this morning, as a response to him today, at the end, after the sermon, I want just to let you all know that we're going to be doing communion together again. Now, I don't know if that was in your email or not, but we are going to continue to do that together as a people. So right now, if you need to, please feel free to go get your cups and your juice and some bread. Doesn't matter what type of bread it is. We're going to do that after the sermon today. Now, kids in the room, I just want you also to remember, if you've not experienced baptism yet, Actually, when you all come back, we're going to kind of start up a class in that, explaining what baptism is and how do we follow the Lord in confession of our faith. But that has to happen first. So we want to make sure, I know some of you have been asking about what is communion as we celebrate it together as people of God. So keep asking your parents that, but as well as when we come back, we'll talk more about what is baptism, and we'd love to see you all experience that, but that's more to come. If you have your Bibles today, though, as we continue before we sing our next song, we're actually going to be reading from Psalm 95 today. Psalm 95. I know Steve's going to have it on the screens, but if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and open up there this morning. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. It's a short chapter, but it tells us and commends us to keep praising our God through all things. Here we go. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let this not be our story today. Let us come and praise him for who he is.
The King on the throne. Ooh.
Amen. I hope that you could sing that. I hope that was true to your heart this morning. So, as we jump into our sermon today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to begin and continue on in our series on the book of Habakkuk called When Faith Gets Real. When it gets real for us, right? And this week in week 2, the title of the sermon is called Waiting. Waiting. I don't know if you ever had a problem with that. Some of you don't even like to stand in line at a supermarket. I know I don't with self-checkout. It's something I do not like to do, but it's something that the Lord calls us to do, especially in a time of crisis. So we're going to learn about that today. So if you have your Bibles, again, we're going to start in Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 this morning. And God's word reads like this, and this is the prophet Habakkuk, and he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, and look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time, it hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples. This is God's word. May we pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today, the truth of it. Father, we know today that we're about to get into some even harder truth as we started learning last week. For the righteous are called to live by faith, and it's through what looks like to be the doorway of patience, waiting patiently. Father, I know my heart this week, I've had a hard time with patience. I know many of my people have a hard time with patience, especially as we're waiting on government to make things happen. We're waiting on a virus to disappear. We're waiting to see our loved ones again. We are waiting. That will not go away right now, though. Sometimes the tomorrows keep going on, and we as a people can get disheartened with that. It's something seen in Scripture over and over again, Lord. Your people have a hard time with waiting. So whatever needs to happen in our hearts, Lord, please send your spirit to us. Change that which rebels against this in our hearts. Help us to wait upon you. For we love you, and you're worthy of it. And we all pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said out there, amen. Well, last week, we started off with week one of Habakkuk, and we talked about the hard truth, and that is that God allows sometimes bad people and bad events to happen to run its course in the world, because he uses both of those things to display his glory. It's always been the same. Matter of fact, the book of Job is all about that. If you were to read Job, some of you have been reading it lately, it's about a man who goes through all kinds of trials and tribulations, but God restores, and he doesn't just restore, he blesses multiple over what Job originally had. But here's the truth of that. That wasn't just for Job back in that day. That was for us so that we could see how salvation works its way out in story. That's from thousands of years ago to today. So a lot of times when someone's going through something, there are far future ramifications of what God is doing right now amongst us. So that happens. This is part of the hard truth that we learned from last week. And even that, in this saving story, is we are learning that God's ultimate plan is to unite all things in his son Jesus, according to the book of Ephesians. Let's take heart in that. It is hard, but God definitely has a plan. Last week we came to the conclusion, as Habakkuk did, that the only thing we can do is accept, we can reflect on it, and then we have to lament and let it go. Lamenting, we talked about last week, was a form of grieving, when you finally understand that God is in control of all things. And sometimes he's not going to let up of what he has called into existence, and we have to go through it. And lamenting understands this, and it grieves this hard truth. And it confirms in our heart, though, finally helps us to deal with this very important fact that at the end of the day, we have nowhere else to turn but to God. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you've had a lot of issues with this pandemic, or maybe there are other things in your life, and we don't want to neglect understanding that people have hard things outside this pandemic, right? Life is troublesome sometimes. But the hard truth I hope that you are learning is there is nowhere else you can go to find salvation other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you clinging to him today? I hope you've practiced that this week. But, and also lastly, we learned last week that lamenting, until you actually go through it, it's really hard to help people who are going through things because you're holding a lot of bitterness inside. So I hope you're dealing and you're processing with that, and make sure you're reaching out to people talking about those things. Though, let's talk about this week though. As the COVID-19 thing began to bloom, and I mean specifically bloom, it began to grow, right? We saw it grow before our eyes. It got bigger. It affected more people in our country. It affected more people across our state. A lot of people. It got us a little concerned, right? The restrictions got tighter amongst all that. My brother lives by himself. He is disabled in Florida, and he is basically locked up in his apartment building with a bunch of other disabled veterans. And nothing can get in and outside of Florida, right? So restrictions have gotten harder now. This is just a basic truth. And so all the pressure got tuned up a little bit, right? It raised up a little bit since last time we met. That's to be understood. And I guess what I want to share with you is that I wasn't dealing with it so well. Would you believe that? I guess I wasn't. And this came crystal clear to me when I guess somebody on the outside of our emergency people, someone saw my driving and thought that I was being impatient and decided to pull me over this week. Let me tell you a little story. It's Wednesday. You know, Heather's home. She's not working right now. We're home with the kids. And amongst all the other things with schoolwork and all those other things going on, one of the things we're doing at the May House is it's time for spring work. That means we have got to do things like get the garden ready, dress the grass, things like that. And it's also things to get people busy, right? To help them work and process. Well, in that, Wednesday happens, it comes along, I have to buy a new wheelbarrow. Now, when it comes to yard stuff, I like buying it, but I don't like to waste money. So I've been waiting for a while for this wheelbarrow. So this year, I finally determined to get the double wheel wheelbarrow. Now, this is pretty exciting for me and my kids, right? Because at my property, I have some hills. Now, I know it's kind of a funny joke. I've been laughing at my son last year when he's trying to roll with an old rickety wheelbarrow down a hill with one wheel with weight in it. It's kind of fun, but I promised him I would buy this to help him out and Bailey, right? And so I got a double wheelbarrow. But when it came Wednesday, I went out to look for this thing. Now, I had seen it a couple of weekends earlier, but I guess along with the teepee, everybody panicked and bought one. So I ended up going to four different places. So by the time I find this wheelbarrow on Wednesday, I don't want to be out. I'm trying to follow proper code and restrictions, right? I'm trying to get home so I can prep for our Wednesday night devotion. I'm now running way late. So on my way home, I guess my impatience got the best of me because one of our finest pulled me over to explain that I was going way over the speed limit. So patience cost me. So I'm sure what a $100 wheelbarrow cost me at Home Depot is now going to cost me another $100 somewhere down the road. So I say that to say, I guess we all need to slow down a little bit. But you know, when life gets rolling sometimes, you don't know, I didn't know that maybe I was having a problem with patience that day. Mine tends to run thin, especially when I think outside circumstances are coming into my life, controlling the speed of which I have to function. It drives me crazy. How about you? So I thought about it this way. What are some signs that you may be dealing with, maybe some impatience yourself? Hopefully not speeding. Don't do that. That's not right, okay? So, and my son was with me. You can ask him later if I reacted right to it. I did good for you, all right? I had a good witness, all right? So keep praying for me, though. Whew. But maybe your patience comes out in different ways, because here's what happens. Patience always seems to fly out the window whenever stress goes up and whenever emotional distress does not desist. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a prime time. You are, as an ex-counselor to my family, you are in a prime window to lose your patience. It's going, and if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. Wait for it, all right? I am telling you right now. It's like the guide rails come off of your behavior. Let me give you some examples, and maybe one of these hits home, maybe not. I didn't know. I didn't call around to find this out. But perhaps some of you, your home shopping has gone up on Amazon. And it's not because, though, now wait for this, it's not because you needed something because you didn't want to go to the store. It's just because you were bored. And through a lack of patience, you began to find yourself shopping a little bit more online instead of being constructive with your time. Now, that comes from a lack of patience with what's going on around you. So you felt like you needed to buy something to help you feel better. Perhaps you indulged in that extra dessert lately because you felt you were owed. Nothing wrong with dessert. Perhaps you're eating a little too much and now you're putting on the COVID 10 instead of like the holiday 10 that we talk about, right? So sometimes that comes from a lack of patience. Watch, I found this one was me. You're streaming more movies now, right? Trying to fill up space. Now, I've been reading, doing a lot of reading too, but at nighttime, maybe watching a movie here and there. You know what I can't stand? Even though we don't really watch regular TV anymore with commercials, I can't even watch a full-length movie anymore. I have to speed through things because I'm slow, right? It's too slow for me. I don't want to deal with all that, right? It's a lack of patience on my part. And again, when stress goes up, my patience goes down. I'm warning you, it's coming. You might have seen some of these warning signs already, right? But here's what I want to say about that. As the book of Habakkuk shows us today, patience, while it may be hard to get a handle on, I understand that, right? It's not supposed to fly out the window when there are disruptions to your life. Habakkuk does not show this. Scripture does not okay that, right? We are still called to be and bear the image of Christ. Habakkuk shows us today that there's an essential doctrine of the church that requires patience. You know what that's called? It's called waiting on the Lord. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of anything called waiting on the Lord? Maybe you grew up in church like I did, and you've heard people actually say before in your past, "Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord." What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. It's kind of hard to understand. People use that excuse for sometimes just a lack of inactivity, but it's actually an essential doctrine that all of God's people have to learn is we wait upon the Lord to do what he said he will do. It's something important for us to learn. Waiting on the Lord is a real thing. But when you don't embrace it, here's what happens. It puts you and me on the wrong side. Because when we don't wait on the Lord for his plans to come about, it automatically when you actually will start empowering yourself and you'll try to take control out of God's hands. And you'll start trying to fix things yourself, as with my driving, trying to get home sooner than what I should. Amen? This is what happens to us. Think of it this way. You know, a lot of you have little kids. And I'm very proud of you that your first response is not spanking, and there's nothing wrong with spanking. But I'm glad it's not your first response. A lot of us, we have instituted timeouts. Timeout was like the new crave 20 years ago, finding out how to do this. Now, when I was working with kids in a school system, we used timeouts all the time. And it wasn't so much for a punishment as it was to retrain a kid how to get their mind off their current circumstance, to learn patience, to get them re-triggered emotionally so they can get back into their class, right? But here's the deal with timeouts. Once we sat that child down, it could be just for 5 minutes. If the child talked, if they move, if they were continually pouting, then we would have to start that time over. And every time that child would do something to mess up that time of resetting, the natural consequence was to start that time over because they pushed against the grain. So a lot of times what we're finding out is when we do fight against patience or what God is teaching us in patience or how to wait on him, God a lot of times, you know what he does? He has to reset the time. You're not learning right now. You're not ready to learn. You're not ready to hear from me. Let's reset the time. So as encouragement today, I don't want to see us all go through that. Let's kind of go through this together right now. And let's see what God has for us today, all right? So patience, though, is exactly what we're supposed to step into when a crisis occurs. We see this in the story of Habakkuk. Faith gets real. Here's what I'm saying. Faith gets real when patience is no longer a dirty word in our minds. I know for many of you, you kind of went, patience. I know, right? But it has become a reality if we want to be a people that wait on our God for him to move and act. So today I've got three ways to kind of help us endure when faith gets real and act in patience. So here's the first one. Today we're going to talk about, here's point number one, if you're keeping notes, and again, that's in your email today, is number one, how to endure when faith starts getting real. We're going to do that through patience. We're going to look at scripture and see what it says about this. Oh, excuse me, a lot of pollen yesterday. Woo! I know some of you are suffering from that too. Verse 3, let's jump down to verse 3 and look at this main theme of this text right now here this morning. Verse 3, for still the vision, that is what is going to happen, that is what Habakkuk has already talked about in verse 1, how the Babylonians, the Chaldeans were going to come in, right? For still the vision awaits its appointed time. That means it has not happened yet. It's on the back burner. If that's an old family saying, it's a good one, it's on the back burner. It hastens to the end, though it will not lie. That means also, though, that it's constantly moving forward. If it seems slow, listen to the command. Wait for it. Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Now, the scripture right here on the front end, it actually brings me some relief, and it should for you too, because here's what these words mean. So again, that vision awaits its appointed time. That means that things are not chaotic. You and I don't live in a world where things just fly off the handle. There is never control over them. We should not know what's going to happen to us when we walk out the door. It means that when we walk out the door, no matter what happens, God is still always in control. Whether good or for bad, God controls it all. We do not live in a chaotic world, as evidenced here by Scripture. In even what Habakkuk saw, he understands this comes from God. So in that, all these circumstances wait on God. The time was appointed for them to occur. That means in the end of the verse, if it seems slow, wait for it. That is because God is declaring to us to wait on him. Habakkuk, I know the end is coming. Don't jump the wall and run. You need to stay put. Wait for it. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? So he wants him to wait for it. This future that Habakkuk is seeing will come about, for it is by God's hand, not King Nebuchadnezzar. It's God's hand. Habakkuk has to do what does not come naturally to humans. You know what that is? Be patient. Whew, that's a hard one, isn't it? God's people have always had a problem with patience. The earliest examples, right? If you think about it, if you look in the Old Testament, it's everywhere. The earliest examples with the patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah were supposed to have a baby. This baby would be the beginning of the Hebrew nation, right? The Israelites, right? And when she could not have the baby fast enough, what happened? She gave him Hagar, which then birthed the Edomites, which became one of the enemies of Israel. Lack of patience, right? And if you keep following the patriarchs, this happens over and over again. It's like this thing, I can't have babies too. Take my concubine. Take this lady in waiting. It's like, wow, right? Both sides, not just the man and the woman, both are impatient. You see this again when the people of Israel leave Egypt after the great famine and they're led out by Moses and they're delivered by God by mighty works, right? 10 plagues come in Egypt. Pharaoh finally loosens his heart by God's work in his heart. He lets them go, gets them across the Red Sea. And while they're out there at Mount Sinai waiting for Moses to come back down off the mountain to give God's will to the people, what do? Oh, Aaron, you need to make us some golden calves because we've lost patience waiting on God, right? And again, we see this as the people of Israel live in the Holy Land for a while, and they're protected by the judges because God is their ruler. God is their king. Yet they want to be like everybody else, and they want to have a physical king. So God tells Samuel, let them have their way, even though it is an evil thing to want to put someone between me and them. And do you know what God does? Through all those things that worked and came before, that came out of the evil of his people's heart, he used them for good. And he allowed the king line to develop because it would be the line through which his son would come, which would fulfill the covenant, the Davidic covenant, for his people to save his people. God allows bad things to happen because he's going to work the good through it, and it brings him glory. So we see his people are not strangers to impatience. In all of that, we see that people constantly want to run away from waiting. In all of that, God is still gracious. He's still steadfast, for he neither abandoned them, nor did he wipe them all out as he could. But still, he used their scheming. Now today, here's where we're at today. Many of us, this is me too, many of us throw up our hands and are like, maybe you've even said this, and spouses don't elbow your spouse or your kids there when I say this. You just throw your hands up and go, well, I'm not a patient person. Right? What's all that about? Well, I'm just, that's for some other people, but I'm just not patient. I'm just not made that way. Like, you believe, but here's what you're saying. You believe that patience is in the genetic code of human beings. That's what you're saying, right? Right? And it's not your fault that you think you can't do it. Like, that should be a freebie. That your impatience should be a freebie, right? Here's some truth for all of us this morning, right? And patience is actually an act of humility, which you are called to do. That means, though, that it is a choice. One must choose to be patient. Here's the truth. Nobody's born with it. You must accept it, that it is a calling for God's people to live this way. So what does, though, impatience mean? Well, impatience means that we're not waiting on the Lord. It means we believe, here's what it means, that when we are impatient and we don't wait for God's plans to be played out in our lives, it means that we actually think that we know better than God, that maybe we're the omniscient ones, that we know how it should turn out, that we take it in our hands, that we direct life away from God's hands in our lives because we think we should know better. If you look back in Habakkuk this morning, we don't have a lot of time, and see if I can put it on the screen for you, but in there are examples in verses 4 through 5 where he talks about people are puffed up and they're arrogant. That's why they don't listen, because they believe they know better. Or maybe sometimes in these crises, people were drinkers of too much wine because they would rather just hide what's going on. They think they can hide in greed, things that please them, right? They believe that they know what's best for them instead of waiting on the Lord. Maybe that's where you're at today, and maybe you're hiding in some way. And here's what happens, though, if we keep trying to go around God's work in our lives is that it leads to desperation and it leads to tiredness, which will lead to your exasperation. Now look, here's where this gets real, guys. And maybe you're listening out there today. In our own lives, when we lack patience, right? When we don't like to wait on the Lord, a lot of us can look at like our bank accounts. And we can just kind of go through, shouldn't have bought that. I acted too soon here. I didn't really need that. It's a sign of impatience, not waiting on the Lord. Or the reverse of that is, you can look at all the things you've bought and how much you've given to God lately. Are you showing your patience in waiting on the Lord? Maybe you've, in your past or even right now, and I don't know, maybe you're watching this for the first time, but a lot of times in our culture, and even in Christian culture, I see a lot of Christians think it's okay to move in before you marry somebody. That's impatience. You're not waiting on the Lord. There are many things in our life, and if we will bring those to the Lord first in prayer or go to someone for counsel, oftentimes I see a lot of young couples will make some decisions and they'll never ask an older couple for their opinion. Do you know why? It's impatience. We don't want to wait for the Lord. And remember, again, though, one of the things I've found, how God works in my life too like this, is every time we try to go around as a patience, he'll start the time over again. How much are you willing to keep living over the same mistakes again, over and over again? Let us not be that today. We can be better with his help. But when we wait on the Lord, though, here's the good news of the gospel. When we practice patience, it leads us to a great outcome. Now, that's the promise of Scripture. When we practice waiting on the Lord, it leads to a better outcome, no matter what the earthly circumstances are, right? Rachel Cook, you shared this verse on our prayer line the other day. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, for you know that the testing of your faith," she's right above that, development of patience, right? "Produces a" what? "Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Verse 3, testing of your faith. You could read it like this: practicing waiting, or equals to development of patience. That's what we see here, right? It produces a steadfastness in you. It's hard. It's like training. It's a hard thing to develop. No, it's not in your genetic code. God has to put you through this to learn it, but it's here. You can become, here's what the scripture says, you can become just as immovable in your spirit like God is. He wants to make you like his son. Can you imagine how rock steady you could become if you adhere to this testing? Right now, God has sent us all a time of trial. What do you think we should be doing right now? We're being tested. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to become steadfast like your Savior? This is something you should rejoice about. And this means in the book of James, when he says it's going to produce a steadfastness, that in the end you won't lack nothing. The end of this and the theme of James is you're going to have what it takes to get you to your eternal destination. That is eternity with Jesus. That's what it's talking about. Now, this means that the way that I get through life is I have to learn patience. Yes, God's people know patience, because it's how we're going to get through when we wait on him to this final destination. James says, count that as joy. Ching, ching. Joy. We should have joy because of this. It seems here that we have a task today. I know I've gone through it this week. I know that a lot of you have gone through it this week. Here's our work today. We've got to change our cognitions, our thoughts, as we're told in Romans, to capture every thought. We need to capture this thing and stop looking at patience as a dirty word. Like, I wasn't born with it, therefore I'm not accountable to it. That needs to stop. And we need to embrace it as a way to attain true joy. Let's look at Habakkuk now. As he embraced it, when faith was starting to get real, how did Habakkuk embrace it? So this is point two this morning, is we're going to be waiting patiently. The Lord needs two things from us. There's two things if we're going to wait patiently. There's a bunch of them, but there's two really here in the text I'm going to point out today. One is you got to have the right perspective. And the second thing, you have to be willing to be obedient. Perspective and obedience. Let's get caught up again with our passage this morning, beginning in verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I'll answer concerning my complaint, right? So Habakkuk is first standing at the watchpost. That just means basically the tallest tower in the city, set up specifically so that you could look out and see what is coming. It's a place where one could look over vast distances to get the headlines. Here's what's coming today. There's a storm front coming in from the sea. We can see that coming. There's a cloud over there. What is that? Oh, there's a raider tribe coming out. We need to send out the force against that. Oh, here comes this new caravan that's coming in to bring in goods to the city. It's the place where you get the headlines. This is what Habakkuk is looking like. So in this time, the watchtower was very important because here's what it meant. You could see when trouble was coming. You could see when the invading army was coming. You could know by markers set up in the distance how far they were. And you would be prepared to give the warning. But it also puts you in a spot where you could see where help was coming from. And we know where help comes from. It comes from the Lord, doesn't it? Habakkuk was stationed at the watchtower to get some good perspective. It's from the advantage of rising up out of the mundane, out of all the news we hear every day, that we can actually get a little perspective. The person that does this is in the watchtower, and it may be the only person that knows what exactly the truth is. A lot of the prophets were kind of like in this predicament. They were people of the watchtower, so every time they came to speak to the people didn't want to hear it, but they're the only ones that knew what was happening with the Lord. But for you and I, the redeemed of the Lord, we should know what's happening. We should put stock in what God is saying to us. This should be our job. The challenge is that as we wait on the Lord to do his work, is that do we let what we see on the horizon scare us into actually believing what the world is saying about it? Every time a disaster happens, do we look out there and believe the worst things that the news and the media is telling us? Or even if it is as bad, do we believe the worst thing is going to happen because of it? Or do we believe that we'll lose our joy when the world says this is going to rob you of something? Because your joy shouldn't come from the world, should it? What are we believing? Do you have the right perspective? Listen to this person's perspective. I want to give you an example from Scripture, from somebody, I believe, who had the right perspective when they went through some trials themselves. In Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul says it like this. For I consider that the sufferings, trials, right? Just like in James 1 tells us, of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a great perspective on life. And we can learn from that, right? He's a dude that he was brought up, he was taught this as a Pharisee, to believe that the reason he had a cushy life is because he was morally better than everybody else. Man, did Jesus mess him up with that one, right? Matter of fact, Jesus took him away from everything that was cushy, that while he was still a sinner, he died for him. And he moved him out of that, as he does for many of us, and he opens our eyes to the truth. And that all got turned upside down when he met him. He learned that the truth about trials, he learned what suffering was to produce because he had gone through it so much. That man endured several beatings, 40 lashes multiple times, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, abandoned, and disheartened, and he endured. Why did he endure? Because he learned to wait upon the Lord and gain a little perspective. How are we doing at that this morning? The trials of our current times are nothing when compared to what God will do to the world and us. Matter of fact, in that, you should read that passage of Scripture. You learn in that, Paul says, God's going to make all things new in creation, and he's going to redeem us and make us new. Matter of fact, my family and I have been reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look, guys, you're going to get a new body. Even if you get sick and die, you're going to get a new one. I know I don't say that frivolously. I'm just telling you the truth. It's having the right perspective. This is what we were taught to believe. But then he also goes on and makes this interesting comment. In verse 21 of Romans 8, talking about having the right perspective when you're waiting on the Lord, Paul says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption. Things like COVID-19 won't even exist anymore. SARS won't exist anymore. These things will be gone. disease will be gone, famine will be gone, right? And obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Through gaining perspective, Paul compares for us that creation is going through childbirth pains. And it's painful. My friend Jarrett Chambers, I met with him this week. And he was talking about a little something he picked up from his sister. Just made something obvious here. You know what that is? That childbirth pains. Now, you dudes don't understand what that feels like. But many of you have been with your wives as they go through this. Is when someone goes through labor, what happens with the intensity of pain and the frequency of pain the closer you get to the birth? It rises and gets stronger. Guys, the truth of the matter is the closer, we don't know when he's coming. And yes, this could be a sign of his, one of the signs of his return. They're all signs of his return because we know somewhere on the timeline, for a fact, he is coming and the timeline is getting closer. But what does that tell us about things happening in our world? They're going to get stronger and more frequent. Do you have the right perspective to get through that? Can you wait on the Lord with that? Are you ready for some patience this morning? Because the patience will make you steadfast to endure to the end. This could be a gift from God that we will need. So, my friends, this is a wake-up call to us that we have got to gain some perspective. Or like Chicken Little, if you don't know that story, it was actually a great cartoon that was done not too long ago about that. You'll think the sky is falling every time something happens. Instead of believing that these could be future signs of salvation finally coming to fruition, where God redeems all people to himself, his people in this world. The second thing, let's talk about this. It requires us to be obedient, right? Habakkuk, again in that verse 1, said that he will station himself to the tower. Now, this is military language. This is a duty to be performed. Habakkuk sees that his oversight is not to abandon God's vision. Like you and I don't know if we were there, a lot of times we talk about it. You know, you watch those apocalyptic movies, right? Are you the person that stays and fight, or are you the one that runs away to live another day, right? I mean, like, I don't mind fighting, but I don't want to just sit and wait for the end to come, right? I would rather live to fight another day. Habakkuk, though, sees that he cannot abandon his duty, which is to speak to God and lament and have a prayer and to hear back from God and give that message to the people. He can't leave his duty. As a prophet for God and his people, he sees his job as being the guy to do this. Let me just point out also, and probably what he knows and what we should know, if it's military language here, what happens to somebody in wartime when you leave your post? Take that in for a minute. When you choose to leave your post, even when it looks bad, a lot of times you run to the hands of the enemy. And you're cut off from your source of protection. Habakkuk understands this. Do we understand this? Do we have the right perspective? Are we being obedient? Waiting on the Lord requires us to see it not as a request, but as a mandatory obligation. I want to speak of those out there. Some of you have been hearing on social media lately or through the lines of church communication that this has been a great time of even spiritual awakening in our families. And if you're visiting today or you don't know what I'm talking about, not just our church, but multiple churches have been experiencing a closeness with God since this has started. We're doing more devotions. We're talking about God more. We're praying to more as a family, right? Even though we can't be together here, it's done wonders for our home life. And now, maybe, though, I want to speak to those of you who have not done that because you hearing about this has made you feel guilty. It's made you feel like even more complacent because what does it matter? I just want to say something to you. God is steadfast, but he's very steadfast in his grace and mercy. And I just want to encourage you right now. It's not too late. It's not too late to be obedient, to wait upon the Lord. If you're in this church and you don't have someone to read the Bible with, man, we got nothing but, I'm going to say nothing but time, but we have a lot of extra time on our hands. If you'll contact Pastor Bill and I, we'll do an online men's Bible study. Phil Attard will line that up for us, okay? He'll do it, right? He would like to teach more, right? So we will get that going for you. Don't abandon that. Don't abandon hope yet. I also want to speak to those of you who've been encountering this, right? I'm so happy to hear this as your pastor and as your friend. I also want to say, be careful, because you're right now you're running on high emotion. And when emotion gives out, guess where your patience is going to go? Right? Be aware of that. It might come to an end. You might get to a point where you feel kind of dry in your family time together. So that's what happens sometimes. But instead of that, allow that to drive you a little bit deeper into what's going on in your life. Let me just offer here before going on, before we get to the last and final biggest answer to this dilemma of patience, is what can possibly help those who maybe you've not done this or those of you who are experiencing this right now. Let me give you a clue from Scripture, from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, how we can possibly help each other right now. It says in 24, and let us consider how to stir one up another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Even while we're socially distanced, we don't need to be isolated. We have enough technology, we can overcome this as a people. Amen? We can do this. You have the technology. It can be rebuilt. That's the 1970s reference to the million dollar. Steve knows what I'm talking about, right? We are to rely on each other right now, as we're encouraged by the book of Hebrews, to encourage each other. Patience is not something that is going to grow in your life without a little encouragement from one another. You're going to need that, and it's going to have to be more than pictures on social media. I love your pictures, but we need to hear from you. Kids who are watching right now, you know what would be a great idea? In your foundations classes, your people that you go to school with, write people a letter. Let them know you prayed for them. Let them know you missed them. Let them know Jesus loves them and encourage them. Adults, write letters. Begin correspondence with somebody you haven't done in a while. Open up your address book on your phone right now. Pick 5 people to actually call, not text, and make time to talk to them today. And encourage them to follow the Lord. It can happen. You can do this. God is with us. This is what we need. We need to be obedient to the call to be encouraging to one another. Even though we can't meet physically, we can be there. We can still be there. We have the technology. And this brings us to our third thing as we're learning about when faith gets real. How does patience, it's the calling, but it's also a necessity, right? Here's point number 3 this morning. Faith gets real when we discover that patience leads us to joy. Now, that's kind of strange, right? You wouldn't necessarily think that, but I want to tell you it can. I want to pick up now in verse 4, which is really the main thought of Habakkuk. God puts it there so that we would not miss this right smack dab in the middle of the book. Verse 4 says this, but the righteous, those saved by Christ, those given the righteousness of him, will live by, what's the word? Faith. The righteous will live by faith. So faith has something to do with patience, doesn't it? It's right here in the middle of all this. This is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Paul quoted it, right, a couple of times. The author of Hebrews, he builds chapters 10 and 11 around it, sandwiches it with a teaching on it. And would you even know that the great reformer Martin Luther was awakened by this verse from Habakkuk because he reads Paul's quote in Romans, and he reads it because it's a quote of Habakkuk that Paul had in Romans 1:17, that the righteous shall live by faith. Martin Luther was a man who was not patient. Matter of fact, if you read the story about his life, the man would sleep on hard beds because he felt he deserved punishment. He threw himself downstairs in fits of rage. Whatever he could do, he was not patient because he felt like he was always far from God. He was one of those prideful men that tried to work all the time to get back to him. And Luther finally read a simple phrase, the righteous will live by faith, meaning that Luther's faith is what saves him, not his works. But this verse has huge implications. It's a huge doctrine for the church, justification by faith alone. And we could spend the next 3 hours, and I know I won't do it to you, just talking about this because Steve has to go, right? He's going to get hungry on me. But in that, this verse in Habakkuk is actually saying oh so much more to us this morning. It is saying that no matter what you see from your watchtower, stationed at your post in obedience, no matter what you see, you are destined to have so much more because you live believing in the one that has and will make all things better. Habakkuk was told, put your faith in me, Habakkuk, alone. Cling to me alone. Don't get caught up in what you see. Remain steadfast. See, your joy is not based on your circumstances, is what we're learning, but it's based on the very real presence of the Lord in your life. Habakkuk had to learn that there was nowhere to go, but that joy can only be found in God. The righteous shall live by faith. Here's where this came home. It's funny this week, because we knew that we're going to have even fewer people here this week with us. Steve and I were planning to record this early. And I've had a long week, along with many of you. And just so you know, again, many of the people in this family, as we're going through things, as faith gets real for us, that this has been a long week for me as well. And I don't think it's going to be the last long week, but hopefully we're all learning how to live in better. Amen? But I was actually reviewing today and reminded from some people that I study of something we just covered just a little while ago. I was reminded very recently of something this morning, and that's why I'm talking about it right now, of something we preached on just a few weeks ago. In Luke 12, I mean, this is just a few weeks ago, right? We preached on a story about how Jesus is the bridegroom and that we are his servants. Do you remember the story? And that in the middle of the night, the servants were waiting in this kitchen area at the door, and they were supposed to wait to the second watch, the third watch of the night, for the bridegroom to come home because they didn't know when he was coming home. Do you remember that story? We preached on that from the book of Luke. If not, you can go back and find it. It's in like Luke 12, beginning in verse 35. You can find that sermon. And in that, the expectation was they were to wait upon him for his return. That means they weren't supposed to abandon their post at night. They weren't supposed to just go on with their lives. And some of the guys would drink and get drunk, not waiting on him. Some of the guys would beat other servants. You've seen some of the other parables. They were supposed to be obedient. They were supposed to stay. They were supposed to wait for their master's return. It doesn't matter what goes on in the house. It doesn't matter what goes on in the world around them. They were to wait for their master. And in the story, the master is Jesus. Jesus is painting the picture of what does it look like to wait on the Lord. And then all of a sudden, in that, in Luke 12:37, the story gets real interesting. Look at this verse and look at the hope in it. Lord, help me preach this well. I want them to see this, Lord, but this is up to you. Verse 37, blessed, this is Jesus now saying this, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service. That is, the master will gird himself up, his undergarment. He's going to take it. He's going to tie it up and have them, the servants, recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. The Lord comes and girds himself up. He gets himself ready for the hard work. That's what this is to show of serving his people. He makes ready for work. And his work is to serve his people. What this shows us is this is a picture. Track this with me. This is a picture of Jesus telling his people a dark time is coming. You are not supposed to abandon. You are supposed to keep serving. You are supposed to be obedient. You should have gained the right perspective and keep waiting on me. Though all of nature and time will have childbirthing pains, you wait on me. And as you look forward to the future, understand one day for those who wait upon the Lord, he will have you sit down and he will serve you. And that is when it becomes all worth while. In that picture, ladies and gentlemen, is the picture of eternity with the Lord Jesus, where work becomes easy again, not by the sweat of our brow, where pain doesn't lead to death anymore, where we have freedom to develop and create as we were born to do again. And he serves creation by making this way for us forever and ever and ever. For those who wait upon the Lord, because the righteous will live by faith. And we know, and here's the fact about that. Like, that could be a really big thought. You'd be like, that's great, Jody, but I have problems with faith. I have problems believing only what I can see or what I've experienced. And, well, welcome to the rest of the world. I also want to show you something else this morning. We already know this is going to happen because he's already shown it. He's always given a picture of what it looks like when he does it. Do you remember the night of the last Passover with his disciples? Do you remember the Lord Jesus in that story? If you want to read about it, go back and look it up with your family. What does the Lord do that night? He girds himself up. He makes all his disciples sit down, and he washes their feet, their dirty, stinky feet, and tells them, unless I can do this, you have no part with me. And he was showing them how he must serve them. Because where he was going that night and the next day, men who did not deserve his loyalty, he was going to be loyal to them because of his namesake. He was going to be patient when they had none. He was going to be patient with a people who were going to turn him in when he was their king. He was going to be patient with his disciples when they would all leave him and his leader would deny him three times. He was going to be patient, enduring the pain of his father's wrath when no one cared about it. And he learned to be patient. And it says in Scripture, he grew in perfection. Jesus is no stranger to being patient. And he does this so that one day you may actually be served in such a way as this. For people who wait upon him. For the righteous shall live by faith alone. So faith gets real, doesn't it? When patience, learned by waiting on the Lord, actually produces a love for God that doesn't get frustrated at him when we don't get what we want, but instead goes to him in the middle of frustration. This faith believes he is loving us perfectly and that there are greater things still to come. Do you believe that this morning? Do you want that this morning? I hope that you do. Waiting on the Lord, what it does is it actually reshapes your heart and it reshapes your motives to respond to Jesus in the way he deserves, with praise and adoration. Because he's worthy of it all. So don't waste his time at home right now at being scared and angry. Wait on the Lord. Live by faith so that you can experience a true joy that only comes from patience. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth today. It seems, again, that that was a hard truth for us. No one, Lord, no one is born with patience. It is something that we all must learn because it's an act of humility. So it is a choice for us to do, Lord. And you give us the call, as you gave him back the call to be obedient, not to desert our life. When you call us by grace to live the life to resemble your son, you've called us to remain faithful. For the righteous live by faith. It shows who we are. So we must wait upon the Lord in whatever task, whatever life he's given us, whatever road he has put us upon. And like Paul, we need to learn the right perspective that even an end to our mortal lives is not the end of our existence. There is more to come, that we serve a bigger Jesus than we could ever know. That as we look forward to eternity, we're looking forward to eternity that it's no longer by the sweat of our brow, for our Lord serves us and He makes creation. He makes it renew again. This is the promise we have for His people. Right now, today, you maybe don't know Jesus like this. Kids, with your parents today, maybe this is something you pray with them and you help them to say these words. Help me to know Jesus like this. Lord Jesus, Savior of your people. If you want to follow Jesus because you see how He's doing these things for you, you see how even a hard life and not being around your friends and your coworkers is something that's producing in you a new awareness for God, it's because He's doing that. That's what God does, is He uses circumstances to make you aware of Him because He's trying to love you. Don't turn your heart on that. Just pray in your heart, Lord, help me to believe that. Help me to be a person of faith that believes in what You're doing in me. And save me from a life that would be lived impatiently without You, trying to live it on my own power. And Lord, please go with us today now and help us to live for You and always bearing the image of Your Son well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So as we go to our next part right now, I'm going to give you 20 seconds. Get your elements for communion ready, and we're going to get ours ready too. So we're going to do that in the next 20 seconds. Remember, if you have not been baptized yet or understand what communion means, don't do that today. Parents, explain those things to your children. I encourage you to do that. Steve and Phil are going to come up and we're going to partake the communion with you. Go ahead and grab those things, guys, and bring them over here. Thank you for being patient with everything today. If you're visiting, obviously it'll look different if you ever see in person. So I'm going to take a bread. I'm going to take a juice. You guys do likewise. You may serve one another there. Now, I mentioned it as we were talking today of Passover, that night when Jesus did gird Himself up and He did wash His disciples' feet. That was the night of the Last Supper. And He had told His men in that night and the ladies who were around in that room serving, He established a meal to go along with the new covenant. He replaced Passover. This not remembering what God has done, but as in looking forward to what He was going to do on the cross. And the bread is to represent His body, all the good things that Jesus has done for us. And we commemorate that today because this symbols also His patience that He bore for us, putting up with us. He bore the wrath of His Father, and He bore it in a perfect life. He never lacked patience, otherwise He would have never been resurrected. So this represents His body, which we remember Him right now. So go ahead and eat with me if you would. Now, as we partake of the juice together, the juice that night, Jesus told them to drink in remembrance of Him, symbolizes the blood of the new covenant. That means the new promise from God, because it is by blood that God makes promises that cannot be broken. Jesus' blood was spilt for us in a payment for our sins. So when we drink it, we remember that this is the blood of Christ that frees us from our sins, washes them away, and establishes us in a new relationship with Him. So we do this together, my family. And then I'm going to pray. And Steve's got one more song for us today that we're going to sing together, okay? So get ready to do that as we sing together, God. So let me pray for us right now. Lord, we thank You again for the gift of Your Son and what He is doing for us in our lives. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can look back over time when we want to be impatient, when we can see how He's moving and working in the world, how He's saving us, and even in a time of crisis, in this pandemic time, Lord, when we can get so impatient with our family, and friends, and how just life is going and the bank account's going down, Lord. It all becomes worthwhile when we can celebrate what you're doing among us. Thank you for our covenant with you. Help us again, dear Lord, to praise you for who you are right now and to celebrate what you're doing amongst this body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we leave today, I want to send you out with your benediction and again encourage you for prayer on Monday night and our devotion Wednesday and again prayer on Friday. Make what you can, but make time for one another. This is in the book of Hebrews, encourage one another because we're going to need that in the days ahead as we're working through our patience. Amen. So today, we'd love to see you all. Go in the name of the Father that calls us to wait patiently, knowing it will develop in us a heart like his own. Go in the name of the Son that has waited patiently on us, calling us to wait patiently as the work is completed here on earth. And go in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to endure this present hardship as it becomes a testimony to the God we love. Have a great week. See you next time.